This is how we start. This one here, the one that's on the front cover, you can all find that. Okay, and that's moon, lake, star, wave, moon, moon, mountain air. H-I-K. All textbooks ruin at here, eight at A, hang the nail, ray of sunshine, mechanical erotica, the horde, lemonade is almost the world, riverbank, moonstone, hardline, intransigence, intransit, entrained, this silence. A certain constellation of freckles on her shoulder in the morning. This is from a book of poems written without concern for time. A line of sight, a line of, birds in, bird out of, light. Searching the sky for signs of bagpipes, joy and anguish. What the pen is idea. Urine clattering against the grinding. The settling down of leaves, of birds, of night. Everything put back in place. Lost Critubio. And we change, now this might sound like a rhythm. Birthday, the sharp memory of right now, a play on violet, and the tearing open of the maple vast of shadow, organ of the last thought, consequence as a consideration unto the day, dogwood shadow to the other word, broken, except not wanting to finish the poem, or I'll freeze it, crippled, in place. Darkness like night because it is night, but alleviated by pupils wide as that same night. Still, the trees darken with excess. Still, stand there in the written world, I sit. The world rests on the page, the screen, a tendency of practice. If I repeat it, you hear it again. Every word approaching irony, headlights spinning through the turn. The outdoors, darkness descending, always colder into snowless winter, breeding of owls. Maple leaf, pigeon feather, pin, hail pittering on the hood of the car, gray car and ice, bitter for acorn, tannin and tea growing into the side of the night, windows barely holding it back. Today, I am 48 years, 5 months, and 16 days old. In perfect health. The loop of the G as I finish the word. There might be a phrase that's repeated in this. The constellation of Manhattan is seen from the Palisades. The constellation of Manhattan is seen from the Palisades, the title of a poem I have not written, a poem I have not yet written, but one I intend to write. The constellation of Manhattan is seen from the Palisades is a title I wrote tonight. While riding in a car south down the Palisades Parkway to George Washington Bridge. I wrote the title first, wrote the title before I wrote the poem called The Constellation of Manhattan as Seen from the Palisades. I wrote the title of the poem I will call The Constellation of Manhattan as Seen from the Palisades when I could see the stars in the windows of the buildings of Manhattan as I looked down upon that field of lights from the Palisades that we call the Palisades. I sat down at this table tonight to write the poem, The Constellation of Manhattan as Seen from the Palisades, but I did not write the poem because I had too many other writing projects to work on and too little time to finish many of them. When I began the poem, The Constellation of Manhattan, seen from the Palisades, I started with the line, the wrench is the neck, a roughness at the back of the throat. Just now I sketched out a few more sentences for the poem that does not exist, but which goes by the name, The Constellation of Manhattan, seen from the Palisades. The central sentence of this gaggle of sentences for The Constellation of Manhattan as Seen from the Palisades is one that explains that a heart filling with pus is still a heart. Tonight, I wrote to Mark Lamoureux, whom I will see tomorrow, about the poem that will be called The Constellation of Manhattan as Seen from the Palisades. And he asked me if I could give him some of my inspiration, and I have not written the poem that inspired this request. Not counting the poem entitled The Constellation of Manhattan, a scene from the Palisades, I wrote three poems today, each of them while riding in a car. When Mark asked me for some of the inspiration that led to The Constellation of Manhattan, a scene from the Palisades, I told him, what can I say? But that inspiration is everywhere. As an ekphrastic poet who lives with a student of art history, you are surrounded by inspiration all the time. Inspiration is just what you make out of the world. Remember the title of a little visual poem of mine, The Makeshift Expedition We Call Inspiration. Inspiration finally comes from within. For me, it comes from writing constantly. If I stop, I might stop forever. Because stopping might be the end of writing. I cannot stop writing. I cannot even stop writing about a poem called The Constellation of Manhattan, seen from the Palisades, a poem that I have not written. Now that I have written all these words about The Constellation of Manhattan, seen from the Palisades, I wonder if this is the real poem by that title, or just a marker left in place until I find the real poem somewhere in the rounded corners of my brain. I wonder if there will be two poems called The Constellation of Manhattan as seen from the Palisades, one of them being about the other poem and making only glancing references to itself.
Yeah.
My favorite, but I can't read it. My crippled writing can't teach anything of beauty. The order of authors for Tom Beckett. You couldn't hear me because I couldn't speak, because I couldn't think, because I couldn't breathe, because I couldn't move, because I only just found out that I don't even exist. I wish sometimes that this were a surprise, but I can't argue that point. The signs were always there. Wherever I walked, no one saw me. People walked right through me, breathing me like air. When I looked at my hands, I saw the sidewalk, dark gray nodules of gum, cracks in concrete, intermittent tufts of grass. Yet I might never have known the truth. The sun fell on my shoulders, warm and comforting. I could hear the red voices of cardinals, male like me, their tiny crimson penises sucked back into their crimson bodies. They flew into the bushes and out of the sky like drops of blood that never dry. I could feel my knuckles dehydrate each winter into raspy corners rubbed against my face. They felt like the gentle scraping of a cheese grater. And I sang a little song as I knuckle shaved my jaw. Cheese grate, grating on my cheek. Take any skin, but leave me my teeth. I suppose it was hope that caused the problem. I am the wet spot left behind from the shadow of the ghost, invisible but palpable. I can hold myself in my hand, yet I eventually shrink away to nothing. Everything fades or shrivels or diminishes somehow, even me, especially me, only me. It is because. The reason for this is, I can explain this by saying that it can clearly be demonstrated by. The best way of showing this is through my disappearance. No. No, no. Not mine, but yours. And the big you. The plural you. How you dissolve away whenever I forget about you. If my mind slips off the thought of you, even for a second, you are obliterated, replaced by void and silence. I am the conscious nest of thoughts. I am the conscious nest of thought. I am the being, I am the is, I am the etra, the essa, the quid pro quo, the qua, the quaidu, that keeps you in place en face, en bon point, the needle point in your arm. When you stop yourself, half in sunlight, half in shadow, to feel, to sense that order between warmth and cool, youth and old, ennui and enemy, I am the one who is there with you. I am not a human being. I am a force of nature, sunlight, moonlight, waves against the rocky beach, a winter storm, the herald of summer, the maudlin parade of fall, the springy step of jackrabbit, avalanche. Because I cannot think, but only am, but only be, because I cannot consider my station in the crosshairs of the great hunter who does not exist, because I cannot suffer the burdens of life, I have but a shadowed sense of you and your paltry desires, the frugal pantry of your urges. I see the mirror you carry in the palm of your left hand so that you can pray to yourself, to the two great doors to your brain, the hairy nostrils of your head. I hear the little tune you fart to yourself as you walk. The little squeakings of your ass. I taste the ginger cream you slather on your body to keep yourself tingly and succulent. I touch those tender gathers of your skin, the sluggish waddle of your chin, your jowly cheeks, the fatty, hilly deposits of your gut, your wrinkly scrotum, the gently flapping flesh of your arms. I smell your song. You do not know why, because you do not know how. You cannot see you are centered on word and place, logos and logos, each holy, and your logos are garish and cryptic. We came here, to this place, to hear you, these words, because we have been told you are the magician of content, happy in your data mining, ebullient in your own verbal excess, expressing, efflorescence, bioluminescence. It is all a puzzle. How to get out of this game, this contest of words, this trading of pairs, this intricate blade work that gets us back to nowhere more quickly than a cardinal returns to bleeding, the bleeding bush you kneel beside, son of Hod, man of the soil, immaculate, inarticulate, inaccurate to the seventh power of the seventh power of three. There are no words in your language for mantangulation, quaternic coquettish, or hypo-toe extra virginality. No tongues for the beasts, none even oddly for the feasts. Though, if there were, you would boil these steady before peeling the stiff rind for each tongue, and you would wear the glassine encasements on your hand as mittens and walk through your house, unable to turn any handle or shut any light. As you stumble, allow me to tell you that I am encephalogo-centric, man of my word. I testify on the damn testes of my penis. I am a damic, naming all the animals, the cock, the woodpecker, the dicky bird, strong birds all. I am the maker, the meaner than you, the master of plaster, the Paris of pants, the namer, nominating an order of number to each cardinal virtue I do not possess. I am red. We come here in this wintry gloaming, a crowd of pale mushrooms in place of sunset, enemies of the vagrant sun to determine the order of authors. I am first, because I am the question against which you have to speak. You are second, for you are three, answer, assertion, and question. Third is that bleeding bush, always bleeding, every bleeding day, a menstrual hemorrhage that makes the you who thinks and swims, that creates the me who never is, that pushes cardinals from our cunts, that passions everything we want. Amid these errant authors of our lives, we count to save, we can't survive. We play this game from dawn to dusk. Our fathers say that we must. Neither one of us, me and everything else, exists. So we believe in ourselves for our own sanity. I am not a Hunan being. I am a farce of nurture. I am an instrument of fortune. I am the conquest of lexico. I am here for the sights and scents and sounds of words. There is no sense in it, but that is all that I, bodiless and mindless, can do. And you? It is a long wait. It is a heavy wait, the burden of questions. As I answer them, you make them anew. As you answer mine, you leave me askew, wondering whether one could wander wildly, whether forth or fro. And a question awaits, the question I give you. When you ask me at the writing desk, in the drawing room, a question, brief and quiet, what question did you mean to ask? Flint fire, grogginess, inflict, nestness. The forces of twilight amassing at the edge of the page. V.E. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring on a second speaker so that we can do this right. Let me tell you a story as Ron makes his way up here. Ron wrote a little book called The Alphabet. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a very short poem, 1,000-plus pages. And so I decided to read it. And I would read it one section a night if I could do it, and then I would write a response. My responses were sometimes 5,000 words long. And they would take lines from Ron, and then they would respond to them in different ways. It also worked to help with the proofreading of the book. But so Ron reads the yellow, and I read everything else. Ron is reading the alphabet, and you hear his voice. This is the opening, section, the January section, from A Pair of Dice Will Never Abolish Chance, which has quoted text from Paradise by Ron Silverman. The Where Are You of Jam.
Word slipped as tight hands around the pen a clamp a clip.
Working it out, as he works it out, as he must variously outwork the words.
We celebrate the agreement of a new year, the head shrouded, frightened, and knit suit.
The year begins, and the text tells us this so that we can understand its monthly structure.
The list is sweet.
The poem is a list, a listing of sentence, out and out, over to one side.
Nothing in your ear larger than New Hampshire, the oven off.
No water either. Most sentences clear and red, a few partially mysterious. A scallop wrapped in bacon, wrapped in enigma.
By the pepper grinder, a red pen has run dry.
The implements of writing are main characters in this play, as are I and she and he, who change places as the spirits move them. Slight pressure and a gentle warm near my temples.
Books slouch on a shelf.
Return to details, return to literature as subject.
Little blue book, but blue here is a different hue, too dark.
Blue is the blue of writing, blue-blooded, but not all blue is properly blue. I change into jeans, forgetting I have to button myself into them.
This is not a sentence.
It is a textual representation of the sentence. A sentence is time. One sentence was clocked at 30 seconds, but many finished by two.
The words merely crawl across the page, leaving a trail of syntax.
Like a snail trail, language leaving behind its essence, which is sound, sense, and emotion, sometimes shape. Like the curling top of a two-story A. I recall staring at that form of the A as a child in Portugal, wondering why that other allograph existed, wondering how I would ever copy over something so complex.
Great archetypal coil of an old tube of toothpaste.
The word toothpaste, the first of the unconventionally hyphenated compound words in this poem. It appears that the text has been copied from text previously set, capturing the hyphens added at the end of the line.
Thermostat set at words per minute.
They hoped for a perfect thermostat of 60 words a minute.
Cut plum limb, rag of right.
The plum is the dominant leitmotif of this poem and appears elsewhere in the alphabet, here representing primarily change over time, seasonal change. This plum's image is also the reminder of a body of text on a typed page, the second state of this poem, after the handwriting and before the typesetting.
Sparks are a sect.
Try having a poem without sparks. It's hard.
That the paragraph end.
A little bit of subjunctive to question the mood.
Eye tracking to center of ad, or scanning to where and how new paragraph begins, reading and thinking at the same time.
Text allows for searching by the eye, what we are best at. We search poorly by hearing, or smell, or taste, or even the touch of.
Your nipples harden to my touch.
And they rise to greet as the penis also does.
A parrot from another letter stares in his cage.
The full writer, empty of thought, trapped in the prison of tradition.
The diaphragm's jellied spermicide needs a slightly metallic taste.
I remember precisely the orgasm that created my son, that propelled my sperm around the diaphragm, cupping jelly, and to the waiting ovum. It made our neighbors knock on the wall. Our neighbors who groaned like wounded wildebeests almost every night they weren't fighting.
The hat is the form of a demand.
I certainly am. And I find a poem in French, Infamil. I'm going to shorten this one to The Constellation of Manhattan, as seen from the Palisades. The wrench is the neck, also a roughness at the back of the throat, coming from that tea with the dull copper liquor. The feel of the rasp is the rasp of the voice, but the berry is silent in the white porcelain bowl. Had we brought quarrel enough and time to line the steamer trunk? Had we found fortune in the opening of words, one screw top holding back our voices? From our voices sent, we would a small enough world build for the favors of our days. He would pay 200 to adore each breast, a fair sight more for a fair sight lower. but it would not lend itself to an answer to its doubt. Along this string of cliffs we stand, invisible to the night, 1,100 windows bending light for 1,100 stars. That sight arrayed below us, shuddering. Each skyscraper an outline of black, barely distinguished from the black veil. We cannot measure this galaxy, faster than empires and more slow. You have to believe I do not have a heart. It is a pussy and wormy heart, beating more slowly, yet it still beats, and into ashes all my love. But desire is different than duty. His modes and means of writing change. No words signify in the same sense twice, and the grave a fine and private place. He could not judge the difference between stars and stairs and starts. The girls in the dress with non-pure waist, her arms so short, she cannot even touch. It takes so long to knock. Resistance to darkness. We exist side inside a body of water. We reside within water, modulating from blue, slate, green, gray, aquamarine. There is no sun but rain. There is no cloud but sunlight. There is no lake but mountain, from which we see and believe. The lake is process and being beyond any depth. We do not see the lake itself, only its surface, a simulacrum of lake, a covering like darkness between the water and the color of night and us. There is no connection except the darkness which binds us as one, which extends to the surrounding everything. A darkness that behaves like a liquid, flowing into every corner, filling every surface, establishing its dominion over our bodies, our consciousness, the memories we retain against all hope of necessity. The obscurity of night exposes the difference between rain and sunshine, the small petals of our meal, the lemon-scented grains of fat Israeli couscous, the salmon dusted with fennel pollen, the truffle-infused oils, how the blueberry of the wine subjugates its own sweetness, allows flavor to persist. The lake before us has translated itself from a deepening slate to the color of night, and we are alone, but two, beside a body of water. We are two bodies, emotion, two tendencies, in conflict with the night, resistance and continuation, decision and volition, intent and outside, ourselves, these bodies, wandering the body of the earth in search of. Taking surrounding shapes. And this one, it makes sense if you see the symbols I'm talking about. Defining shapes, a twisting together, a stopping for fractions, a pausing, a cutting. Half a submerged thought, a star in the mind, a globe. Water, a sound, a hook that catches, a bent enveloping. The leaning of a division, a stitch of text, a cross of numbers. The end of whispers, a crumpled page, the division of zeros into each other, surprising the ending, not to smoke, the path to, two eyes that follow, two eyes and one grain of sand, the uncrumpling of paper, cast forward to text, the half box of thought, a possession of the missing, parallels between parallels, opening the box, the mark of a voice, the hat of the missing, the sibilance of sermons, a grave way of speaking, informing surprise, dividing the strings into threads, the third line in a sequence of whispers, the graveyard of the second thought, the fist of bills, the soft blowing sound of money, facing backwards at sets of sentences, the reason why, quoting forward, the pregnancy of sections, an undefined inheritance, the pipe broken to the greatest degree possible, sort of, or about, the beginning of a foreign voice, the announcement of an inflection, a bee of essence, the line before and opening into, the extension of an idea, zero divided by two zeros, three reasons to suspend disbelief, almost the percentage needed, a conclusion of forever, remix, reread. The evolution of the written tongue. Beyond the pines where I live in subtle subterranean beauty. Unable to tell if she were fragrant or flagrant. The ballot, the bullet, the billet, the ballet. Wunder Kaumann existence. The secrets he secretes. Germane or mine. Neat and known. Imperceptible. Wishful. Quince. Off of all. A late. You. This is a total, and this is a song.